know. I feel like, I don't know. I just like this show already. Like, I feel like I'm genuinely going to enjoy it. It
No,
gives me
it's so good. Hold up.
Not too bopping. Did she want the heart though? Did he double maiden? Let me stop.
Right out the bat.
Like, no, because they're so sick for that. Juliet, can you relax, please?
Right, can she? Like, she already foreshadowing their future. Like,
her father's kind of a dilf, honest.
How do you even get those pills? Like, how do you even get that?
Yeah, literally, who is literally like putting blood in little pills?
Putting blood in little caps. That little ass caps.
She's so obsessed. God,
for me to stand in the way.
She really just passed side by her side. She's so.
Look at the eye roll.
She literally looks like she's hungover.
And didn't even help her pick him up. Like, Calliope clown.
Go breathe.
Girl, you heard what she said. Please. Oh, she confident, huh?
Calliope's so evil for that. It's like the whole book is just the first episode.
Literally. Oh, the boss says Juliet. And look at how big these houses is. Like, what is it? Like, deluxe mansion.
They all rich. There's no way.
She is so fine.
We love actors that know how to kiss.
Exactly, like.
These shots, though.
They are awesome.
Like,
she had her hand at stake, like.
I feel like I'm interrupting something. Like, I can't.
Like, are you kidding? Look at her crust and scary being.
Body yaddy 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 yaddy.
Yeah, okay, but it's Kyle Clark, why she got that too yet? Like, they need to see it to believe it.
They are a fine couple too, like.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
You know you're lying. You know you're crying in the inside.
What was it like?
She's so evil. She literally just making Juliet weaken the knees for the fucking jiggles.
Mm.
It should have fucking in the closet. That was such a great pilot.
That was so good. That was good though, cause like you're like, oh, she can't die, or she just stabbed her in the chest. But
just gay people being annoying.
Calliope sat there and milked this girl for like the whole. All right, bon appetit.
Hey guys, it's Iz.
Hey guys, it's Notch.
Hey, it's Robin.
Hi guys, it's Iz.
And today we're here with our first ever episode that's not Legacies related. Obviously, by the time you'll see this is when Legacies has ended. And now we're going to be doing each video first kill. So we're going to be doing 1 to 8, 8 separate episodes. So we just finished watching episode 1, which is called First Kiss. And we're going to be talking about that. So hope you guys enjoy. You know, make sure to stream First Kill on Netflix as well. And let's get renewed for a second season.
Yes.
Okay. That's the thing I want to talk about.
Can we talk about how it opened? What the show is about and everything.
Okay. So, First Kill is a sapphic, you know, TV show. It's from a short story that's like compilations of, I guess, like stories put together. And it's about a hunter and a vampire dating, you know, obviously forbidden romance. And you get to see the life of Juliet and Calliope and how they meet at their Lancaster Academy High School.
Mm-hmm.
So the first episode automatically opens up from both sides of their point of view and how they met at the school. And you get to see Juliet trying to prolong becoming a full vampire because of her first kill. And then, you know, Calliope who's trying to get her first kill as well, to be aligned as a monster hunter. So that's like the premise of the show. And before you do anything else, both of these characters are lesbians. So please keep your shipping at rest. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and the pilot is split in between both point of views.
Which I love. I think that was the one thing I loved about this was like, I thought this pilot was like one of the best pilots I've ever watched, at least personally for me. It kind of opens up and it grasps you immediately. Like you don't go in like the first scene after the title, obviously, but the title was awesome as well. Mm-hmm. But it like grasps you like at the beginning with the first scene, like it opens up and it's like you're like, oh, you know you're gonna see this later and you're gonna see like the full reason behind this. Yeah. But like
I know I was listening to the theme song and they had me at Edward and Bella.
Bella, yeah. And like the game, it was so, it was like camp because you're seeing like graphic drawings and then you're seeing like I'm hoping that them scenes act in real life if they're drawing in the theme song. But the music choice, the drawing, like the scenery was very much like giving very much camp. But also the first scene, it was just like teasing you of what's to come in the first place.
I love and it. A sapphic horror love story that opens up the first scene being a sapphic scene. And what's awesome too is not only are both your leads sapphic, but one is also a woman of color. Like it's
yeah. And they're both lesbians, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And both lesbians.
Imani and Sarah have such great chemistry. Like, yes. In that first scene, you're like, whoa. And then it just cuts to, like, Juliet in bed, and you're like, whoa, okay.
The chemistry is so real because, like, the kiss scenes, it looks so real and genuine. Because sometimes some kisses be, like, forced or a little bit, like something's off. But it like they put their life and soul into it. Like they literally mold into their characters to the point that you were waiting for that scene in the show, and when it happened, you were not disappointed. Like that
the hand was, like, placements, like the hand,
like shots. First of all, this whole episode. I mean, first of all, I only watched episode one so far. So I can tell you right now, the scenery is phenomenal. I miss when shows used to like. Do like zooms or like out pans of the city that they live in, and I haven't seen that in a long time since like early.
Like, Savannah is very beautiful. Savannah, I'm glad.
Yeah,
you know, I think love is that there aren't, and then you did this in the '90s all the time. Was
exactly.
If you notice, like you know, One Tree Hill and Buffy and the original Roswell and stuff like that. They always had theme songs, and they always had you know an opening to this show, and a lot of shows don't have that anymore. And
yeah.
Beautiful about this is they really like gone back into like those roots and made it feel like it's something special by having this like theme song and this opening, and you know it's like I love that, like I love
we never generally have theme songs, like we don't have theme songs,
no,
we don't have like panties over you know like the cities at all,
cause, it's
like,
very nostalgic,
yeah, like it's so nostalgic because it gives you like 90s, like I was saying that it's like Buffy in a sense, like even the graveyard gave Buffy feels, the monster gave Buffy feels, like once again I don't know why people criticize the CGI and stuff like that, like, this is literally the first season, like why are you picking apart
people are criticizing the entire show, exactly. Like
yeah they haven't been watching it yet. Yeah
like literally
I know people are like, oh, it's tasteless and boring. And
yeah,
it's
or emphasizing and how emphasizing like relationship, like how
it's got mystery in it. It's got you know, there's questions. There's like, okay, like it really captivates you. Just
yeah, I don't understand. Like I don't understand. Like I've never seen a show get this criticized in my life. Never. I haven't even seen. Well, you know what? It's whatever.
I don't know. Like, suffixes are already having to reach some big, high standards. I don't know why.
Exactly. Especially with, like, the budget they probably got. They probably got a low budget. You don't know what they had to do behind the scenes to get this. Like, let alone that this was a 30-page, or ebook version, 30-page book. Like,
yes.
You don't, like, the fact that they had to make that into a whole 8-episode thing. I could
see someone saying that they had worked on this show and that the budget was so small that they were saying, guys, we need you to stream this, we need you to watch this, we need you to show Netflix that you know this show is worth the work that we put into it, and like even from the pilot alone, like yeah, fuck yeah, yeah it is.
It's amazing. They acting, Sarah, Catherine, and Imani, like they acting just amazing.
They're oh my god, perfect choices. Like first of all, this episode, like. You know how like there's never like a full 100% book to like show or some adaptation. Even though this is short, it literally was like everything seen. They made like there's like minor changes, but it was literally like fresh off the page. Like,
and I think their chemistry read was also on Zoom. So
yes, it was on
Zoom. Exactly. Like, can you imagine how you had to carry that to Zoom?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Everyone is so pretty. Like.
Like, and the casting is so realistic too. Like,
yes.
And then, like the makeup and the hair design and the clothing, they all look so good for a budget that was probably low for due to Netflix. And due to Netflix not promoting the show so, like, you know, so hugely, like Heartstopper, but yet this show is trending number 4 to 5 on, you know, on Netflix. See, Netflix, maybe you promoted the show like how we did on, like, on Twitter, you know, Netflix. But like the casting, the crew, the makeup, like the scene. First of all, the high school. I don't know whatever high school they filmed at, but that don't look like a fucking college. Like, kid you not?
They probably did film at a college. They probably did film at a college. Yeah.
But, like, I just loved it. I don't know. I just, like, the episode gave me, like, something that I've never seen in a while. But the storyline itself is intriguing because, like, you get so little by each character, but you're seeing that, like, it's just something that's between them, right? And then you're hearing inner monologue, too.
Yes,
like,
I love
that. What I loved about the point of view was seeing, like, you see Juliet's side and then you see Calliope's side. And I kind of hope they do that throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah,
I'm on.
It keeps going on.
I'm on episode 3, so I've seen 3 episodes, but obviously this is only the first episode, but that's what I loved about it was the point of view, like going from Juliet's to Calliope's, and it was just.
You know what I really like is that supernatural side, it's these two characters and Ben and a lot of the other characters in the show are very like real, like real teenagers, real, like they're relatable. They're like the whole school atmosphere. And, you know, even if you take away, like I said, the supernatural side, you see Juliet with her migraines and, you know, and just like feeling like she doesn't fit in and like, she's popular by association, and then Calliope being like the new kid and then like not really fitting in as well. Like, it's just, it's so, it's realistic. Like, it's
yeah. And
like one thing that I love is the Juliet and Calliope, like they are so different, and like Juliet was born like this vampire, and then you have Calliope that was born to kill monsters, but like they are literally going through the same thing. Yeah. At the show begins, like they are paralleling each other because they both are trying to find their place in their family and what they are supposed to do. And they are like, Juliet don't want to make her first kill, but like Calliope is like eager for her first kill. So I think that they are very more similar than they think. And they bring these both like communities, you can say, and show like they hate each other, but like they literally go through the same stuff.
Yeah, like that's
what, like in a way. Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. I feel like in a way that Juliet like doesn't really care if she fits in. Like she like in society, but in her family, she doesn't really seem to want to be a part of that. But then there's not Calliope. Did I say Calliope or Juliet?
Juliet.
Okay, yeah, Juliet. But when Calliope is like so set to fit in with her brothers and fit in with her mom and her dad and make them proud, and I think that's another difference that we see with them as well.
Yeah, and I love how like with both of them, you're seeing them trying to fit in and fit out of their families, but you're also hearing their rules. Both of them having rules about how to fit in the family, and more so like with Juliet's family, just seeing her mom essentially trying to basically force her to getting her first kill while you know, Calliope's parents is trying to prolong until they think that she's ready to kill. And you're seeing the different dynamics and how they shape. So you're seeing Calliope, she's more here strong. She's like, listen, I'm going to get my own kill if they don't believe me. While, you know, Juliet's trying to avoid becoming a vampire because she doesn't want that, even though it would emphasize her beauty, whatever the case may be, or, you know, give her extra boost. Like, you know, Eleanor said, she doesn't want, she's compassionate about humans. While, you know, Calliope, she's like, this is my destiny. Why is people seeing me as a child? She wants to prove that she can be seen, you know, more maturely, while Juliet's just like, listen, I'm not ready for maturity yet. I'm still a kid, you know, it's wrong.
I love that Juliet is such a misfit in her family. Like, her family's so perfect, you know? And then Juliet's just so, like, socially awkward and weird and just, like, adorable. Like, she's just
a gimmick
in her family, and she's like, tiny, and like compared to like her mom and her sister, who are like these fucking goddesses
literally, and like tall and with like tall Amazons. Like come on. Literally Wonder Woman family. Yeah.
Like, she's just like this, like, I just love her. I love how she doesn't fit in. Like, they just, like,
leader so real. Yeah, and she's like, her face is, like, everybody's faces is so sculpted maturely, like, as if it's, like, honestly, like, vampire-ness. And then with her, you see, like, how small and, like, softer her face is, like, a child. She's shorter than them, kind of geeky. So, like, you're seeing, like, you're like, okay, well, how can this morph into a vampire and have whatever, like, different structure, like, her sister Eleanor has, who's, like, became a literal vixen. She's got 70,000 lip balms, dresses galore, makeup and all that. And then you're seeing, you know, Juliet, who's literally looking like she's going to prep school with that outfit on.
I mean, like, Calliope is calling her a monster, but yet there's Juliet, who's like scooping a bee off of her shoulder and cupping it. You know, if that was me, I would have been like fucking smacking that shit.
Exactly. Like, girl, first of all, she held it like this. Like, she held it. I would have thought they would have
just wanted to touch Calliope a little bit longer.
And the fact that she was like, oh, I like her name. Why would you call yourself Kyle? And Calliope's like, what? What are you talking about? Why can't I not like a preference for my name? But also, you like, besides like Juliet and Calliope's family and themselves, you also get a chance to see the world building as well. Like, the first episode alone introduced like the lore of like, the guiders or the guilders that was like doing the sage around Calliope's parents' home, like place, whatever, when it was in Paris.
Yeah,
you're learning about their graveyard and about how it's been 20 years since anything happened. And then they also mentioned how weird it was for the vampire and the ghoulies to be in the same area. So you're already getting potential conflict and also world building about what's the difference between monster hunters and also, you know, vampires. And then you're getting like characteristics and traits that each of them have, such as, you know, with monster hunters, they have tattoos that have like gashes on it. And Robin was talking about it earlier before we when we watched the episode. They were like, there's no reason that Theo, who was 12, and Apollo, who was 14, was out here rocking tattoos and no one asked the parents what the f- is going on. So like, did they wait and tally until they got older? Like,
or do the tattoos like magically appear like the hunter marks in the Vampire Diaries?
Exactly.
It did, because when Apollo got his, I guess it's like 10 per tattoo or whatever, because, or 20 per tattoo or something like that, because he had 19 kills. And when he made the final, when he made that 20 kill, he had two on his arm.
Right. Yeah.
And that's in the book, there's a part where Calliope is hearing the tattoo machine that is making it, because Theo's makes on Apollo when on the book, remember, Nash?
Yeah,
on the book is literally a machine tattoo that they make,
but in the show they changed it to it magically appears. So how did they get into hunting? Like,
that's what I want to know, because like, how, like, is like, because it, all right, so how do these monster hunters meet each other? Because it obviously must be a family thing. How do they all know each other? Because Calliope's ex is a monster hunter. And then
her family,
How much money do they have? They're able to, like, relocate all this time and change, like, jobs and, you know, like, have all of these assignments. It's almost like CIA or, you know, like, witness protection almost, where they're, like, except obviously they're not witnesses. They're, you know, like,
hit. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's... because Calliope, she's saying that she don't want to waste time making friends in 6 months, while her dad is like, you know, at least like get friendly with people. And it's just like, so y'all move every 6 months? Like, what, like if they just moving on location, like what would provoke them to move every 6 months? Like, do people get suspicious of them? Like, what possibly could make you move every 6 months?
The guardian sent them there, so like,
They must move on location then.
Like, yeah, I guess they literally like just go for the places because of the job.
Yeah, which is why when she was talking about how they were like doing the siege and stuff, and when they were in a car, she said that it hasn't been nothing here in 25 years. Yeah. So why would they get caught there?
I originally thought before I watched it that it was literally just vampires. Like that was a vampire hunter, but it's actually monsters, because they had the ghouls. right? And then also the vampire. So, yeah, like...
Yeah, but the thing is, it's so weird, though, because, like, ghoulies, like, so people, so what, like, so, like, ghoulies just came there, like, so they wake up, like, so ghoulies is just zombies, so they just wake up dead like that.
Yeah.
And then, why would a vampire there? Like, that's weird, because that means that it's more than just vampires.
Yeah, and it was acting weird, right? So...
Yeah, and then plus, like, and what's funny about the fight scene is that, like, these ghoulies literally look like they're, like, they've been there dead as hell for, like, years.
Yeah, so what?
And they were still able to, like, have that strength. Like, literally, you're, like, thin muscle holding on together. Like, why are you able to fight that much?
But Calliope also said that monster hunters know when monsters are around. So is it kind of like a Buffy thing, too, where, like...
That's what I was about to say.
You know, like, where they kind of get that, like, sixth sense, like, you're born into it. Like, it's something that kind of you have to, like... Because, like, okay, so Calliope needs her first kill in order to get her tattoo and to kind of be inducted into the
society of everything.
Society. And then on the flip side, Juliet needs her first kill. Now, does she need her first kill because, like, that's what's going to make her become, like, a full-fledged vampire? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But I also think because it's going to get worse the more she keeps prolonging.
Well, also, she's a... So... I feel like also because it's making her sick, not turning.
Yeah, it is.
So
you can't prolong it any longer.
So yeah. It's kind of like a rite of passage. Okay, so you know, like if you think about like in religious terms, if you go to like Judaism, is when they turn 13, boys have or they have a bar mitzvah, right? So it's like a passage from one side to the other, or like youth to whatever boyhood or adulthood or whatever. I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of My Babysitter's a Vampire, which is a Disney show that got canceled, should have been renewed. But it's like the vampire gets turned and they can live off of like human food and stuff like that. But if they drink, they can like kind of like lower the cravings of human blood. But if they drink human blood, they can't go back. I feel like that's in a sense, but with, you know, Juliet is getting worse because, you know, she will get, at some point, she'll get blood coming out of her eyes and she waits long.
I'm kind of wondering,
so I think
a passage in order to become a full vampire, like yes, you're born into it, but in order to actually become a full vampire, you have to actually drain blood or kill, like have that. It's like Calliope's mark, only it's her, you know, vampirism. And then like if she chooses not to kill and it starts getting worse, is it to the point where, like, if you go back to, like, the Vampire Diaries, if they have those 24 hours, if they don't feed, they die. So is, like, is she going to slowly die then if she doesn't feed? Or
I feel like it's not dying. I feel like it's going to slowly morph her into where she's, like, gets this uncontrollable thirst, like, I guess, like a ripper. Yeah. Where if she keeps prolonging that hunger, she's going to go out and attack the nearest person because when her parents was talking to her, when they found out about the pill, they said that we're trying to put our family, you know, we're trying to prevent our family from, you know, doing anything. We're trying to, like, your dad's making sure that we're safe here. You can't put our safety at risk.
They don't want to be detected by monster hunters.
Yeah. So they said they can't, they don't want to put anything
at risk. Is it kind of like a Twilight thing where, like...
They're trying to make, like, lower suspicion, so...
Yeah, like a treaty where it's, like, they can, as long as they don't hunt on those lands and they, you know, are, like, careful or whatever, then...
Yeah, but even then, I don't even think they know that Monster Hunters is here. So, like, they're just trying to lower suspicion of vampires overall so they don't have to move, while Monster Hunters, they just routinely move, so they don't even know what's here. And with Juliet's family, they just want her to just accept the fact that she's going to be a vampire, and so she don't have a literal, where she's at her lowest limit and just kill somebody, then everything breaks loose and they have to move. So, that's why it's more so, I think she will just get bloodlust to the point that she's, like, vampired and just will go after somebody else. Because she just was in a closet, and then out of nowhere, she just automatically, like, vamped out. So,
yeah.
Well, I mean,
and then the silver bracelet affected her, too, and, like, brought her teeth out in the middle of school and everything.
Yeah, so that's how sensitive it is to, like, that, and then, but, like, even with Calliope, I'm just like, what the passion was, what got you?
Yeah.
Like, what's good? It reminds me of, like, I mean, well, it kind of reminded me of how I thought it was for Angel and Buffy 107, where he, like, vamped his face, but the whole time was because her silver touched him. I thought it was actually because...
Okay. Her rings obviously weren't made of silver then, because she was touching Juliet's face, and Juliet's face wasn't, like...
Exactly. I think she took it off so she can, like, obviously get more closer to killing her.
Yeah. Because
she knew silver was a killer. But you'll see that. I know for a fact by the end of the show she wanted to wear. What is? Not silver. But what's the other metal that can not affect vampires? Like, I saw somebody say that watch Calliope changes from silver to something else so she can not burn her. But whatever the case may be. Yeah, I think she purposely didn't put on silver so she can get the close kill, because she was luring her into it, like luring her into
the cloud. She played herself, honestly.
I know we want to talk about the kiss, and we'll do that in a second, but can we just say that, you know, that scene where Ben was like, okay, you need to come to the party with me, you can be my wingwoman or my wingman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everything flipped around, and he was the wingman because he,
literally,
like,
literally,
yes,
set her.
He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing.
And I love that Ben's like the popular guy.
Yeah.
Literally. He's the black kid. He's the popular, he's an athlete. Yeah. He's the popular guy.
Popular best friend, loner bestie, and mysterious girlfriend. Like, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Like, And then you're getting, like, Juliet, who, like, falls first hard. But then I know Calliope's going to fall harder.
I know. Juliet's so awkward. She's like, we've talked. And then it's her just...
And you go to her just, like, minding everything that Calliope does business. She just sitting here talking about
some... She's done with him. There's, like...
So annoying, because in the books, she was just like, yeah... You know, I start smiling when I heard. I'm like, so you're just eavesdropping. And then she got closer to where the books is at. And I'm like, Calliope, you mean you don't tell me you'll see that girl just staring at you, not reading the books? But I'm hoping that in the show later on, obviously, that they mention the smell, because in the books, Juliet kept describing how Calliope smells like honey and vanilla. And I'm just like,
okay, but when she walked down the stairs next to her, I think that they are going to, because did you see the way that she, like, inhaled
her eyes
and rolled her eyes. Like, inhaled and rolled her eyes, and so yeah, they'll definitely talk about
it. Yeah, it could, because then Calliope, she put on, like, lip balm, and the lip balm was the vanilla scent that, like, got her, like, now I gotta look at the vanilla, yes. Now I gotta look at the septic name. But I just loved how much detail it was, because I don't know if they changed it, but with Juliet in the book, she chose a dark shade called Dust. I do remember Heartstopper being there, but I don't know if she chose Heartstopper in the book. Did she choose Heartstopper bit, or?
I don't remember, but it has Heartstopper.
Yeah, it has it though. But, like, with that, I was waiting for that scene, like literally. But yeah, I mean, I also love how they did mention like Juliet never feeling at home, because she literally said that in the book. Like, she never felt like she was home in her own skin. Yeah. Because of her being a vampire. And off the bat, you do see how she's, like, feels so indifferent from her family, even though, you know, she loves them, but, like, she won't be a murderer. And then you're seeing, like, both sides of the family just talk about it. I just don't know. I just love everything. Like, this is probably the best pilot I've seen in a while.
Yes.
Like, this is up there with Buffy. Like, Buffy pilot, 8. And, like, 8, too, because
like
you're getting both point of views.
Like, yeah. And see, like, the suffix, like, Enor, the show are not, like, around their sexualities. They're, like, they are lesbians, okay, but, like, the show isn't about that. They have, like, a lot more going on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not the important thing about the show, you know, about them in the story of the show.
Yeah, because I saw people, like, I mean, the negative reviewers saying that they're sexualizing and fetishizing this relationship. And I'm just like, no, they're not.
This is
a plot, yes, because they're the main characters, they're the main leads, but it's also building up their families clashing, because the family came there to hunt. They're getting hunt, you know, heavy, hungry. Just like Apollo. Apollo's like, listen, I'm here to kill. Do you think he's gonna let that slide that vampires is in town? No. And then they're going to be intrigued and interested in, you know, like Juliet's family, because, oh, who's my sister seeing? And then I know that, you know, they did the spell at the threshold of Calliope's home. I wonder if that's going to affect Juliet entering or not. Like, we don't know. We barely still know the vampire lore of, you know, this universe, because they're in the sun. They don't burn.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's like Juliet wears sun, like sunglasses. I know that her skin sometimes can get irritated, but she don't burn. She don't light up. Like, we're not used to this type of lore in vampire world. So we don't know if she has to be invited into things. Well, I don't think so, because she just walked into that party. So, like, these like, rules for vampirism doesn't apply to this universe. So we're still learning about what can really tick them off and how can monster hunters even detect that. Like, the thing that gave it away was the blood pill, but imagine if Juliet never dropped them. How would Calliope ever figure that out? And once again, it ties into, like, Calliope not even noticing that the vampire at the funeral, at the graveyard was even a vampire. Like, so I feel like this whole show is going to be showing how, you know, strengthening Calliope into becoming a monster hunter, because obviously she will be fighting monsters. And then you also got Juliet, who still don't want to be seen as a monster, but will be helping her. But, like, we don't know the lore between both of these sides. So,
yeah. And you're talking about, like, people complaining about sexualizing them. Yeah. But, like, you see straight couples literally kissing all the time. You and see, like the boy being without a shirt on the television because it's pretty and, like, nobody complains. And, like, I'm so tired of seeing, like, safety couples just French kids and only that.
Yeah, I don't see any
little pecks and that's it. Like, they barely act like a real couple, like, touching and doing stuff. And, like,
yeah.
Can I do this, all this, you know? And I think that's very, so refreshing to see, honestly.
Yeah.
Too, like, seeing, like, two actors who are so comfortable, like, kissing each other like that. It's, like, come on.
It's refreshing. And also, like, the fact that they provide content. Like, this is the most active I've seen a fandom in a while. Like, we're from Legacies, where everybody's basically ghost. And we come to First Kill. We've been in the First Kill fandom for, like, a few months. Like, and, like, we obviously seen content that they give out. But when First Kill really got, like, when it got, like, fully on Netflix, like, they started posting content back-to-back, feeding us. And to see how comfortable these leads are and how, like, they love and adore their characters and what they bring to the rep, like, come on, let alone that, like, this is my first episode and I'm already obsessed with every character. Like, even though I'm supposed to hate the mom, like, I mean, well, not hate, but, like, she annoys me sometimes. I'm just like, listen, like, they're literally, like, everybody's literally rich in Savannah. Like, girl, every house is a mansion.
They're so fucking pretty.
Everybody's pretty. Like, everyone. And, like, in the way that, like, you see these teenagers in class, you know how many shows we don't see people in classrooms? Legacies, Riverdale. Like, they don't be in rooms. Like, they don't be in classrooms, but you see them in classrooms. You see them mention classes, talking about, in gym. You see them doing, like, hobbies around school as well, and not just them, like, walking in the building and not doing anything. You see them walk the hallways, talk to people, leaving gym classes. Like, the realism is so there. Like, you don't see that. You don't see that. You don't hear any monologue. You don't see scenes. You don't get theme songs. And the fact that they're merging everything that we wanted and we kept asking for in TV shows and just bringing it together and y'all complaining?
You know what I really love? What I really, really love is the way that they're showing Juliet's struggle with the light changes and the music.
Yes.
And
I
really love that. I really think that's a very unique take on being able to... Because it's hard to show that on screen. It's a lot easier to write that, but it's harder to show that. And they've done it so beautifully in the way that they do the lighting and the music and everything like that, that you literally can feel the struggle that she has and that she's feeling and the pain almost that she's feeling, because they've just done it so beautifully.
Yeah, and like the, like, intensity of the music every time it turns, like, red. Because it really shows, like, it kind of brings you into her mindset of how she feels at the moment. Just like how when the inner monologue, and then also with this, you're seeing, like, it's, like, the light red of her head means that she's, like, so losing it. And then when it came, like, when it really got to a point where she's, like, it's so intense, everything was red. So, like, you're seeing, like, the levels of intensity of her needing them pills.
That the sound picked up during those moments, too. Like, it was a lot louder during those moments, because it was, like, you were in Juliet's head when that was happening, and you were hearing the sounds, like the spray bottle and the shoes scuffing and like the voices and like everything.
And the humming, happened. The humming, like, picked up.
Yeah.
So, like, it really, like, it, like, and then, like, I mean, I don't know if people really complain about that, but I know that that, like, automatically let me know that, like, oh, shit, this is serious. Because you're already hearing her talk about the headaches intensifying. You're seeing her parents basically mention the threat of her prolonging this destined fate, to then seeing the effect, and the fact that she has to, like, basically, like, just, like her get all these pills of, like, this blood to, like, take it hourly, and then, like, her, like, basically, like, losing strength over it. Like, it's something that's very serious, because it's going to show her internal battle with this and how long she's going to prolong, because she automatically just got into Calliope's neck, like,
The fucking music. I don't know who is in charge of the soundtrack of this show, but fucking kudos. It is.
I don't know. That's, like, the first thing I noticed was this, the soundtrack, and they can vouch. I've been talking about the soundtrack, like, since I started watching it. It's so good.
Yeah, no, the songs, like, I've never heard, like, oh, I keep forgetting the song choices, but some of these songs I've never heard of in my life. Yeah, sure. And to see them, like, you know how sometimes, like, when it comes to, like, shows, like, some of the songs be, like, too much, or, like, too high, or, like, never matching the scenery of what it's supposed to be. But to see, you know, these songs be, like, so well put, and then, like, when they fade out to, like when dialogue happens, like, when Juliet was laying on her mom's bed, and then the song was playing, and then once her mom came in, it stopped. Like, they have them insert at perfect times, and I just love it. And the songs always match, like, the theme all the time. So, like, I truly love it. I just, like, every song is a banger. So, you know, I'm going to be downloading them off the back. But the best one of episode one was Sade. Definitely. Like, when they were doing, like, the fighting scene. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the best one. I found
myself singing along to a couple of the songs, because, like, the song when she was coming down the steps, when she was getting into Ben's Jeep.
Yeah.
Because they were, like, singing along, I was singing along, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a playful type show, but, you know, it's gonna be serious. I just love that it's, like, it's not doing too much of drama. I feel like a lot of shows try to do, like, so much drama that you, like, it's hard to keep up with what's happening. Bless you.
Sorry.
But a lot of shows, like, they try to do, like, so much drama to the point that it's hard to, like, keep up with what's happening, while with this is, like, one main plot right now. I mean, one obviously more drama, but there's one drama thing focused this episode, which is, you know, basically they're both of their lives clashing, and, like, you're seeing it unfold. But the best thing about this episode overall is the fact that you're, like, when it all comes together at the end, that was the best part. Like, you're, like, the first time you've seen Juliet, and you're like, okay, well, shit, like, what happened? She just bit this girl. And then you flip to Calliope knowing from the literal beginning. And then you're seeing, like, the angle that you are, like, you saw from this point of view, you're seeing it from this side, and you're like, oh, she was there? And then you're seeing how she was plotting this in her mind. Like, you're like, holy shit. Like, how did they film that in one, like, how did they film that? Like, did they redo scenes? Did they just, like, they shot it from both angles and they merged them? Like, that, it took time. Because when I, like, I almost forgot, like, I literally almost forgot, like I shouldn't, like, I already knew what was happening, but, like, I was shocked, as if I forgot. Like, it was that good. I was like, dang, like, they had it in a book. I thought they did. So, oh my God. It was the best. Like, 10 out of 10, the best. And then, like, time said, like, Eleanor looks so mature, and she's only, like, 19. She's only 19. Like, a whole goddess at 19. Like,
yeah, she does not look 19. I'm sorry, but she is, like,
literally,
like, she was sculpted from marble. Like,
like, she literally is, like, 19. Like, I'm like, is that what y'all gonna be looking like? Like, Juliet, like, imagine, like, when she become a vampire, like, her whole wardrobe changes. Like, and she doesn't dress like a little nerdy geek. Oh, stop. Okay. And then I think the biggest thing is when I see if she'll tell Ben or not. And will they continue Ben's, like, little thing with Noah, because he seemed like he was interested, but he got a whole girl, so.
Yeah, like.
What's going on? So.
Let's get into the kiss. I mean, the title is called First Kiss, so. let's get into that.
I mean, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, it literally so cute how Juliet is so nervous.
She was so nervous, but she went in first.
She made the first move. Yeah. You know?
And then she got completely devoured because Calliope took control.
Calliope was I'm here to kill this girl, and then she goes.
Right, but I'm going to go ahead and go overboard. Like, first of all, you're literally a monster hunter. Why are you kissing on that? Like, you're a vampire. Like, I thought that was Juliet's thing to do. They was out here destroying the closet. Like, no one say, yo, what's that breaking in my closet? They got like 4 jars of cherries. Like, y'all can't.
And I love the zoom in on the zoom on the hands and how they are touching each other. It was so well directed. The directing, it was so awesome.
Yeah, the choreograph is like
Way that Jackie like grabbed Juliet's face, like the like she hand like slid up to her face, and
The positioning of every camera angle was amazing because you're seeing like not only just the kisses, you're seeing what they're doing by like in the underwears, like such as the hand placements, and then you're getting like zoom out to full body shots, and then you're seeing like their movements around where they're going in the pantry, and you're just like, okay, so they really eating it up. Like you're seeing, like I think it's one of the most like beautiful kisses. Like first of all, the light, like even and you would think that like due to it being in such a dark place, such as a pantry, that it would be like a dark kiss, but it was still good lighting.
Yes,
we can never.
Like especially for us.
Because the green. A lot of the shows have that like green filter, and
orange.
Left Netflix for
blue.
So like for not using the green filter in this.
Thank you.
Because I can't see them shit on Shadow and Bones. That show is too damn dark. Literally, my biggest like fear is that they make Malina kiss on the dark. I won't see anything.
We have to do like 17 freaking light enclosures. But yeah, like the scenery in the pantry, like for it to be like so dark, it had amazing lighting, which is why like it made it so easy for me to give the kiss. But I just like, oh my God, everything was just, I mean, even the party details, like, you know, like for the budget, they did an amazing job with that party.
Yeah.
Like the coloring, exactly. The drinks, the bedazzlement, like, and like the party felt like a party.
And like, you know what I mean?
It felt like a high school party where they have like drinks all everywhere. People leave drinks and unattended, spin the bottle, like 6, 7 minutes in heaven. Like, it's so realistic.
They felt like high school kids.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
they are not like into big issues. They literally like just to teenager issues. Like, I have a crush on this girl. I wanted to fit in. I want to, like, I have a boyfriend that is closet, and like just like normal teenager stuff.
Yeah.
While being a vampire show, and like another thing is also like the vampire show with monsters and all, but like it's so colorful. Like you can see for the clothes, so colorful. Yeah. And then we have the kids in the pantry, and when the chair is literally all red, and I think the colors are so awesome to me. It's very nice to watch. You feel like it's very pleasing to watch the show because of the colors and everything going on.
Exactly. I just love how it really felt like high school. Like it felt like I got a high school feel from it. It didn't like sexualize high school either. Like with half naked people, like they dressed like they was like dressed like how I would dress when I was a teenager. So like I don't know what y'all mean over that sexualization thing. Like, it literally looked like they were just like regular kids. Like they had jeans, pants, all that.
Crushes as kids, you know, people who make out in the closet, like spin the bottle. Like it's not like people were having sex all throughout the party or anything like that. Like
exactly, you didn't even hear about hookups.
Spin the bottle and then going in the closet, and the only kiss you saw was between Juliet and Calliope. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that was intense, but it was also because Juliet was also affected by the blood, and then Calliope was also affected by the fact that she's thinking she's going to get her first kill. So like it's all these already tense emotions, and then on top of that adding in hormones.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, Juliet having a crush on her and everything like that, like, it's just, it is very intense, but the situation itself is intense. Not over-sexualized, it's intense. The people are coming at it in a completely different angle than they should. Like, rather than looking at it as, okay, this is a show about a vampire hunter and a vampire, and also teenagers, they're looking at it, oh, this is a show about two girls who are making out.
Exactly. Like, that's what they think. And I'm just like, that's not the case. Like, this whole, like, that just, like, one scene out of the whole thing. While everything else was just them, like, finally
doing it. This sexual, over-sexualized, or people are over-sexualizing these two girls, and yet praising fucking Riverdale, who's, you know, sleeping with every other person down the street.
No, people on TikTok were saying that this was worse than Riverdale.
Yeah.
No worries.
Like, no words. Like, you
watched Riverdale?
And even then, like, I watched Riverdale up to season 5. Like, that's literally not, like, come on. Like, girl, I watched Twilight. Like, what do you think?
Okay, why was there no talk about how over-sexualized the teenagers were in 13 Reasons Why?
Exactly.
Oh.
Was it because it was a boy who was raping girls? Where was the talk about being over-sexualized there?
Yeah, or Archie having his shirt on every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or Veronica and the team, you know, out here having a whole cheerleading fest outside of the jail.
What about Cheryl and Veronica having that cheer dance competition and you know, they're wearing
the or Shoni having a whole BDSM.
Why are they not talking
at the job at like 17 or 18? Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on, please? Or the queer bait with Betty and Veronica.
When the girls are wearing team. Like, first off, it's never about the clothes. Fuck anyone who says it's about the clothes.
Yeah, it's about clothes.
But if they want to say it's about the clothes, Juliet and Calliope were not in clothes that were over-sexualized.
Literally not. You see, Juliet was dressed from head to toe in a long sleeve and then got a little sweater vest on top with a skirt that came to the knees with some sneakers. Like, are you kidding me?
And even
hair back, like.
Even when they were kissing, it's not like they were showing a lot of skin. There was no, like, bra or anything like that. It was literally, like, a little bit of waist, some arms, some neck. Like, so where is the over-sexualization that they're talking about?
I don't know. I need to find it. Like, I need the telescope because...
And they're upset because it's two girls.
They're upset because it's two girls, and they're upset because it's two girls that are not, like, it's because it's a mixed couple.
Yeah, I don't understand it. And things are, like... And the hater, the writers that hate on it is like trying to find a niche group of like, I don't like it either. Stay aware of the first kill fandom. It's like, girl, not worry about y'all.
There was that one writer.
Like that, this is
the one writer that was like, oh, this show is tired or whatever, or it's no good.
Yeah, and then was it Variety or Vanity, whatever they said, that the two leads need to be gone?
It was the writer for Variety, and then people were saying, oh, well, it's because you're a straight person. She's like, well, no, I'm gay. But it's like, then why are you not fighting?
Criticizing something, exactly. Like, and I don't recall any show that's like this. So what are you talking about is tired? And why are you saying that it would have been better without the two leads? What are you trying to say?
You're saying it's better without the two leads? You mean without the main sapphic girls? Without the black lead?
Yeah, without the two, with two lesbian characters? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You talk, you're loud. And then Elaine said, oh, it's because, you know, I got ADHD, so like, I can't handle this. I'm just like, what did I do with you shit on these eggs with these characters? What did I do with me?
Those are the exact reasons why, you know, the WB and other networks feel it's okay to cancel shows that have good WLWO rep, like, or good sapphic rep. Like, they're just like, oh, well, these reviewers or screeners are like, oh, this is no good, so yeah, we can cancel it because people said that it was no good, rather than listening to the ratings or the fans or the people that are screaming for this kind of content, and then it constantly being like pulled out of everyone's grasp because it's not selling as much as, you know, like fucking Emily in Paris. I'm sorry for anyone who watches that, but that show was boring as hell. but it got renewed for a few more seasons. Like,
those are movies, aren't they?
No, that's shows.
It's shows on Netflix.
I die.
You got renewed for another season, and honestly, it shouldn't probably have. And I loved you. I loved the second season of You was actually the best. The third season was okay, but like, why are we renewing it again when it's the same tired old story?
But it's like, we had three boot kisses.
Like, it's just, yeah. I'm sorry, I don't mean to like rip apart these shows, but it's just, it's, this show is being, First Kill is being held up to higher standards.
That's a higher standard, it makes no sense.
Other show, simply because it's a sapphic, not even a love story, but like a sapphic show.
It's like every show, like even with LG, like we can even like, I hate to bring up legacies, but legacies is a good example. Like,
or like Teenage Bounty Hunters. That was actually a really good, funny show. I really enjoyed that, but it got canceled. Like, why? Why did it get canceled?
Yeah, and also CW canceled like so many shows, The Bad Woman, and also Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow, Legacies, all of their shows with people of color and with LGBTQ rep.
Yeah.
Why? Batwoman literally had a lesbian black lead.
Batwoman, yeah, exactly. And yet they canceled these shows and then kept Riverdale.
And then kept talking about some pride. Like, and the thing, and yeah, and the thing is that like with the main, like the big couples in Riverdale, like obviously like Shoni should have been big, like, but like the ones that caught people's attention the most obviously was obviously between Bucket, Barchi, and you know whatever, the main four. So, like, obviously people going to pay attention to that. And then Shoni has been getting treated like dirt for the last two seasons. Like, we're reaching for straws at this point. So, like, they're like, oh, of course. And then Riverdale, obviously, they're a bigger contributor to, like, the viewers. And then you got Walker and shit, whatever. But, yeah, so.
You look at, like, Nancy Drew, that literally took away their black male lead and basically gave his entire part to a white male lead.
Yes.
And right now, it's not looking good. No.
It's like, not looking good for him.
Transphobic stuff is going around.
Anybody who is watching this and enjoys First, like, you have to, like, we need.
Make sure to stream First Kill. The first 2 weeks dictates if it's going to get renewed for a second season. And we really want it. And once again, these characters are obviously important. This story deserves to be heard. And also, the actors, they have such amazing chemistry.
Go watch their interviews, and they care so much about their presentation going on in the show.
Literally. But they literally feed. Like, they feed.
I mean, by the time this episode comes out, a lot of people will have already binged it.
Yeah.
Hopefully more than once.
Binge it every week.
I think I've watched the first three episodes, like, at least two times, three times each.
Yeah. So, yes, it may have already been 2 weeks since the show came out, once this episode actually releases. But it doesn't mean stop trying to fight for it. Don't stop talking about it. Don't stop tweeting edits, GIFs,
GIFs.
Follow
GIFs.
The actors.
Donations.
Actresses. Donations. Like, just.
Monty Lewis and Sarah Catherine.
Yeah, just let this explode. Like, show Netflix and
yeah, like Twitter literally single-handedly promoted the shit out of this show.
Yes.
There was hit tweet after hit tweet after hit tweet. There's a few Twitter accounts, like a name off the bat, that were like literally defending, literally promoting them, like, as they should every time. So, like, big thanks to y'all. Like, honestly, like, I might just, like, hopefully, there's like a few. Like, you can look up, like, First Kill.
Literally. Like, Heartstopper got like a renew for two more seasons. Yeah, see them on Twitter. And like, First Kill is literally in each tweet I see on my timeline.
Literally, yeah.
I can't escape them.
They were trending for like 4 days, 5 days before she even got out, like, trend. Yeah. And then Juliet is trending today, so.
Yeah. So, let's keep it going. And now I can actually watch episode 2.
I'm going to watch episode 2 tonight, so.
Yeah.
are we wrapping up, or?
I don't have.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Okay. So that was our first episode review discussion of First Kill, named First Kiss. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe for more Handy Weekly reviews, obviously, on the First Kill. Let us know what other shows you want to see besides First Kill after we're done. We still have seven more episodes left, so you're going to be seeing us review and discuss the next seven episodes. Make sure to stream First Kill on Netflix. Even if the volume is on one, rewatch it. Add it to your favorite list. Rate it 2 thumbs up. and make sure to support the actors and the writers and producers and the creator. And yeah, thank you guys for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.